KFNC. Mont Bellevue, Houston. ESPN 97.5.
97.5.
A Gao Media Station. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, two in the books, one left to go in the big show. 1 hour left of The Usual Suspects as we return to the airwaves. Nick, Barry, Joel here for you. Some of the news of the day. By close of business today, we're supposed to have a decision one way or another from the league office on the Ezekiel Elliott fiasco, should we call it?
Yeah.
That's coming down. Magic Johnson, who the Lakers, if you were under a rock during everything where you were underwater, the Lakers were fined $500,000 for tampering with Paul George during the free agency period. And otherwise, Magic Johnson has said, take it all out of my salary because that's on me. One, that tells you he's making a heck of a lot of money. And two, it tells you, hey, these things happen, man. I mean, in this day and age, he's owning up to it, but it's not uncommon. And I can tell you, I speak from experience all over the league, knowing people that I know and being through things I've been through without bringing specific examples into this. But I'm telling you that deadlines are just numbers on in print in a lot of cases these days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing to add to the news, Jeff Rogers just tagged me in a tweet from Darren Rovell. J.J. Watts has now raised over $20 million, 100 times his original goal. In less than 9 days.
No doubt.
And then a great comment in the tweet from Darren Rovell. The very first one is from an account called Relentless PR, but I think they're pretty accurate. It says, well, that's a wrap. The Walter Payton pain of the Walter Payton Man of the Year has been decided. There is no doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
It's a great tweet.
Yeah. Any doubt that he wins? If he doesn't, you can just scrap the award.
Yeah.
Seriously, name another athlete that raised $20 million in 9 days
and
for a city that needs it.
Here's the factor into that. That's $20 million in cash, and we talked about this yesterday, but all the donations that are coming in by the truckload from all over the country and specifically pointing out to JJ's foundation to where they had to get, like, I think an airplane hangar or some big building to kind of house it while they distribute it. And we showed that he was out in Pearland and other communities distributing a lot of goods. And they said, and the beauty of this is, it hasn't even touched a dollar what has been donated. It's all just extra on top of the cash.
Good for JJ, man.
No doubt. Good
for
Houston.
The city.
Yeah, good for Houston.
Somebody had some feedback about the list that I was reading about the quarterback rankings, and they were wondering why Matt Ryan was ranked behind Cam Newton. And they said, well, you know, but there was, I mean, that's right there, 8 and 7. From a grade perspective, mm-hmm. It was the same. Both of them got an 8.6. And when you look at, like, you know, Ryan was considered more accurate.
That's what I was going to say.
Better pocket presence.
Cam's going to get you a ton vision, more rushing yards.
Yeah. Athleticism. Cam was obviously had more athleticism, yep. Better pre-snap or tied pre-snap and better arm strength. So, yeah, I think it's obviously two different styles of quarterbacking. At the end of the day, though, who you taking if you had to pick one over the other? You taking Matt Ryan or you taking Cam Newton?
Man. Like I said, the two things that come to mind are positive for Ryan is I think he's a more accurate passer. Positive for Cam is he's going to get you almost 500 yards a year rushing. And if you need just 1 yard, he's going to get it for
say,
it.
Goal line, you know.
Yeah, I'm leaning Cam.
I go Cam because I like the addition of the athleticism. When you look at, Matt Ryan is a more accurate passer. But when it comes down to, Cam can still make the throws. That's the thing. He can still make the throws. The difference is when you get down to needing that yard or you need to run a bootleg and you need that option of, you know, a run pass option on the bootleg itself. Or I like having that flexibility with Cam, and he's a big guy.
And yeah, I was going to say, here's the other thing. Exactly where
you're going
with that last point.
Because Ryan can run a little bit, but Cam's a big guy.
I'll say this. Before the Falcons really got to the top of prominence, they played at NRG about 4 years ago, and I sat in the end zone, and I watched him get happy feet and panic because the Texans were putting so much pressure on him. Now, you got Julio Jones. You got great weapons in the backfield. You got a lot more than you had back then, but I think when he sees the rush coming or he feels it, he freaks. Cam's such a big physical presence. We obviously know he's taken a lot of late hits, but he's going to hang in there, and he gives you that toughness factor and that durability factor because he is so big.
Yeah.
Yeah, I lean Cam too. Nick, who you got?
I'm going to lean Cam too. Just like he said, the athleticism part. I mean, that makes a big difference right now. Until he's successful, he starts to show that he can't do both, where he can get the rushing yards and throw. I wouldn't pick Matt Ryan, but yeah, I'm leaning towards Cam.
And I'm talking, the other thing I was going to ask you guys, and again, we'll get into predictions as we get closer, probably Friday when Barry's back. But at the same time, I would say of all the teams that were ranked relatively high for good years this year, I've told you guys this before, I think the Falcons are the team that might be the one team that has a big disappointing season and a letdown, kind of like Carolina did 2 years ago, or last year after 2 years ago going. I think the Falcons could be in for a rude awakening.
I tend to agree with you because it tends to happen to the Falcons after they have a good season. When they have a really good season, there seems to always be a drop-off at some point.
And their division's pretty talented, too. So, I mean, for a lot of reasons, I'd watch them as a team that might be ripe for the picking.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I still have some faith in the Falcons.
Okay.
It's a good team. It's a really good team. They remember... Yes, they collapsed. They had the Patriots beat. If not for that collapse, they name another team that got up on the Patriots like that in a year, in a Super Bowl, no less. In that year, nobody had the Patriots down like that. They weren't closers. They couldn't
Dolphins,
close the deal.
Jets, they owned them.
do you want to do the junk story?
Sure.
I want to hear this.
It. Yeah, this is crazy because you know what? We've heard stories in the past of men cheating on women and women getting revenge. I think the Lorraine Bobbitt was the big story when she decided to snip the grapes or the outdoor plumbing. But this one came out with a little different twist, if you will. A woman was arrested for allegedly cutting off her husband's penis in part because he spent too much time playing golf. South Korea Weekly first reported the incident that took place in South Korea on August 26th. According to the Korea Times, a 54-year-old woman who has only been identified as Mrs. Kim committed the crime while her husband slept. She is said to have cut the tip of her husband's penis off and flushed it down the toilet. While police are still investigating what happened, she told authorities her husband had been violent with her, but that she was also upset because he didn't give her enough attention or money because he spent lavishly on his golf habit. Neighbors told police they thought the couple had a good relationship. It was one of those neighbors who found the man in pain and took him to a local hospital where he was last reported to be in stable condition.
Wow.
Ladies, can we talk for a moment? Can we maybe not go around cutting people's penises off? I get you're mad.
But Barry, just the tip.
I get you're angry, but let's just not cut everyone's penis off if you're upset. I feel like that's not too much to ask.
It's starting to become too common. It's starting to become way too common, right?
Yeah.
The whole chopping of the penis.
Yeah, you almost got to sleep with one eye open unless you've just got the ultimate trust in your partner.
Yeah, I feel like there's other ways to get back at your man. Like, go sleep with his best friend.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go shopping.
Give him herpes. Go give him herpes. Something. But cutting the penis off is a little drastic. That's like, what's the end game here? Really? What? Why do we have to go to that extreme? It's golf. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Go throw his clubs away. Go break them all. That penis didn't do anything to you. It did nothing to you. Nothing.
Well, evidently, based on what she's saying, lately it hadn't anyway. But yeah. So why take it out on something that you weren't?
That's what I'm saying.
Worried about anyway.
Hey, ladies, ease up on the penis. Let's play nice, okay?
Yeah.
It's not too much to ask.
I don't beat that ass, but easy on the.
Wait, what?
Oh, sorry.
What? I don't know what that meant.
Well, I mean, if you're gonna take it out somewhere, might as well beat his ass instead of cutting off his penis.
Oh, okay.
Right.
All right.
All right. Hey, Kyle wants to get in here on U of H flood recovery. Kyle, what's up?
Hey, guys. I'm glad to hear y'all made it through the storm okay. I just, JJ rightfully so is getting a lot of credit for all the money he's raising, but Kelvin Sampson, you know, at U of H and formerly of the Rockets, I think he had a genius idea to collect clothing and shoes, and it's taken off exponentially. I think now they're saying he's getting over 25,000 shirts and like 10,000 pairs of shoes donated from all across the country, and I think he deserves a little bit of credit,
too. Yeah, Kyle, just so you know, I mean, Joel has actually mentioned it probably five times in the last 3 days.
I'm sorry.
But
I'm sorry, I hadn't heard it. But,
yeah, no worries, man. But it bears repeating. I mean, it's a big deal. He's doing a good job out there. And props to him and U of H and everybody else that's out there helping out, man. It's a big deal. Somebody brought up something interesting. Thanks for the call, Kyle. Somebody brought up something interesting about where's the money going? And that's a great question. And I know I was reading what J.J. Watt had talked about. And like you had mentioned earlier, Joel, he distributed all the supplies they had.
Right.
And he said that he's going to take his time. And he said that he had talked to people that went through this in Katrina that raised money and that he was learning from that. And the one thing, the one common theme that everyone told him from an advice perspective was take your time. Don't rush it. Don't just start giving out money. So I think that's what the MO is for this money, as he's going to take his time and figure out the best way to get this money to the people that need it.
And he's also said, I'm going to be transparent throughout the entire process, because there's so many people that have so many drawbacks and hangups about donating, because depending on the agency of choice, if you hear one bad thing, you suddenly are chastising that agency and neglecting, one, you're scaring people off, and two, you're neglecting to contribute yourself because you've heard bad things. Do yourself a favor. Do some research. That's what the internet's for. You can find out in a quick hurry if there's a legitimacy to some of your concerns or if it's just hearsay.
Yep. And somebody had a great point about J.J. Watt winning the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. You know, we said it's a wrap.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a text or a tweet, but somebody said, yeah, until some athlete in Florida raises $30 million for Irma. Damn you.
Yeah.
Damn you, Ryan Tannehill.
Well, he's done.
Oh, well, yeah.
Well,
he can still raise money. Yeah.
He can't raise his leg, but he can at least
still raise money.
He can raise money while he's not
raise
playing.
His leg.
There you go. So at least he's got something to do with his spare time.
That's the best joke you'll ever make. Just stop now. That is the best joke you'll ever make.
And by the way, because we can all relate
to
this.
That's great.
The Dolphins' home opener this weekend is in limbo because of the storm. But guess
can't
what?
Swap.
Guess who they play?
Yeah.
The Buccaneers. Either way.
Can't even trade.
Yeah.
Oh.
After what we've seen, I would say cancel it, man. It's not worth it. It's just a game.
I'm with you, man. Or maybe move it. Find somebody. Like, where are the Saints playing? Are they at home to open?
We'd have to look it up.
Maybe move that game to New Orleans. It's a dome. You're probably going to get some rain. Maybe, but maybe not. But yeah, move it somewhere.
You can't move it to Tampa. You might as well move it to Milwaukee. The Astros know that.
Yeah.
You can move it one of the two places.
Don't do that.
And by the way, all of you in Florida, especially if you're listening on the app, and that storm is heading out, take words from Poltergeist and take them to heart. Get out.
Yeah, man.
Just get out. That one looks like a doozy, too. So we've got plenty more to go in the big show. So we're going to catch up on some break time. Be back with a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7, that's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects in the final hour of the big show before we turn it over to Fred, AJ Jong, and the Blitz at 4. Trey has made the show again, but very quickly.
Intern Trey?
Yep.
What do you do?
After his appearance yesterday, I was walking to the restroom.
He's
just
trolling
now, and
you.
He is extremely mad out in the bullpen with the interns and anybody that within earshot that will listen. He believes the city of Houston should already have a Justin Verlander day.
He's trolling you.
Yeah. I'm like,
you realize
he
that,
hasn't
right?
won a damn thing yet. Yeah, you know, wait for him to win a couple games, but JJ, Mattress Mac, sure.
No, he's trolling you. He has to be. Intern Trey's a troll.
This is Intern you have Trey.
To, yeah, he's a troll.
I will say this.
Him
I
and
do...
Kobe both.
Kobe, yeah, I feel like Kobe, like, I didn't give him credit at first. I feel like he is a bit of a troll, too.
He is.
Like, he knows what he's doing. By the way, did you see him on Twitter with Dell on the sex show on?
I did not. What happened?
What's her name with Deldo on Saturdays?
No. What happened?
What's her name? Carla or Darla? Beth. My bad.
Dang, close. I was way off.
Hey, you were close.
Carla or Darla?
Jeez.
Go ahead.
So, Beth, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there was a picture of her, Dell, and intern Kobe in studio Saturday night during that program.
What?
Did y'all catch that?
No.
I must have missed that.
I didn't even know they scheduled interns on Saturday nights, honestly. But apparently they do.
Yeah, well, they schedule them on Sundays, so why wouldn't they on Saturdays?
Saturday night. Well, I guess.
We get an intern for game day Sunday. I guess you're going to give one to all the shows. Nestor Carmona wanted to know where was Kirk Cousins on that list. Mm-hmm. He said he's top 10 in his opinion. Hate to burst your bubble there, bud, but he ranked in number 20.
Kirk Cousins
I'm
is top 10?
I'm not a big Kirk Cousins guy.
I wouldn't put him top 10.
I wouldn't. I think he's good.
I think he's good too, yeah, but not top 10.
But, yeah, I don't think he's 20th. I would put him ahead of guys like Andy Dalton and Alex Smith, who were both in front of him.
I would put him in front of Alex Smith, but Andy Dalton might be a pretty even comparison, and Dalton getting to the playoffs and doing some of the things he's done. He's that guy that every time I hear, is he worth $20 million? Is he worth $23 million? I can't say yes.
Who, Dalton?
No,
Cousins. Oh, Cousins, yeah. Like I said, I would have him ahead of guys like Alex Smith and Andy Dalton. They, you know, guys that are in front of him, too, are Mariota, Winston. Bradford came in at 13, and I'm just not a Sam Bradford guy. He might be better than I'm giving him credit for. I've just never thought he was that good. And he can't, again, another guy that just can't stay healthy.
Can't stay healthy at all.
To put him at 13, I'd be okay. If you swapped Kirk Cousins and Sam Bradford on the list. If you made Kirk Cousins 13 and Sam Bradford 20, I wouldn't argue with you at all. I wouldn't. I would be just fine with that. But, yeah,
I could do that.
Not a top 10, but okay.
You can do what? You can pay $20 million? What can you do?
I could agree with Barry on that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I agree with that too, yeah.
Well, that I knew. Yeah. You want to give your shout-out?
Yeah, real quick, I want to give a shout-out to Becky out in Mo City going through some personal things. I know she's listening to the program. She's out in Mo City. She listens a lot, so I want to give a shout-out to her. Also, happy birthday to my mom.
Hey.
She turns 21 years of age today.
Happy birthday, Mr.
21,
yeah,
huh?
21. I'm 34. She's 21.
Very
possible. Happy birthday, Mom.
You guys crunch the numbers on your own time. But,
yeah.
Did Barry say happy birthday to Mrs. Sherrar? Barry Warner, that is, this morning?
He did not. I didn't give her a shot on 1560. I'm just doing it on ESPN. Not that I think 1560
is less worthy.
She doesn't
listen to Barry Warner anyway. So.
And, you know, for as much as we're rude to Dallas and Cowboys fans, and somebody texted the show and said, what about the storm relief from those hated Cowboys? They have kind of stepped up as well. I mean, Jones, I think, donated $1 million. Dez Bryant had some sort of, I guess, telethon going or whatever. So props to those guys for helping the state of Texas, their fellow Texans out when they needed it.
Somebody
Good
said
for, them.
For 1 year only, the Cowboys would be their second favorite team for all that. And my direct quote was, let's not go overboard.
Do what?
Someone said for 1 year only, the Cowboys will be my second favorite team because of all their donations and efforts. And my direct quote was, let's not go overboard.
Let's not get nuts.
No,
yeah.
Overboard.
Yeah,
let's not go overboard. So, yeah, some people, yeah, no. But I know I felt all that from the Cowboys fans sending it my way, too, and it was much appreciated. There's no doubt about it.
Way back Wednesday suggestion on the text line from the 215, what about songs from video games? Which brings up much, I don't know that there's enough songs from video games. Maybe so. I guess Madden has
there's
had
a
some.
Lot. Madden has a lot. Every year, there's a lot.
There is a song by Nate Dogg that came out in, like, Need for Speed or something like that. It's one of my all-time favorite songs, and it was never released other than the video game.
Yeah, some of the best songs are released on video games.
I ended up getting it. I routed the video game into my computer to record the song and keep it now. I still have the MP3 file to listen to. It's from Nate Dogg. It's called Keep It Coming. It's really good. I mean, maybe it's on YouTube. I don't know. But speaking of video games, and Joel, I know you're a big Mario guy. You're a big Nintendo fan. I have bad news for you. Maybe, possibly. I don't know. Nick, we'll see where you stand on this as well. But apparently, according to Nintendo, Mario is no longer a plumber.
What?
Yeah. he's no longer a plumber.
Is he an aquatic engineer?
After 34 years of cleaning out pipes.
There's two things you don't mess with when it comes down to Mario. Number one, you keep him as a plumber.
Yeah.
Number two,
mustache.
The spaghetti. Yeah. The messy spaghetti. He's always got the meatball stains. He's always eating spaghetti. Those are two things you don't take away from Mario ever.
And you can't touch the stash. I mean, I'm just saying.
I didn't think of that, but yeah, I would agree with you.
So they changed his profile on the Nintendo page, and it says, all around sporty, whether it's tennis or baseball, soccer or car racing, Mario does everything cool. As a matter of fact, he also seems to have worked as a plumber a long time ago. I don't like this. I don't like change. And then the article says it's unclear if Luigi is still carrying on the business as a plumber or not. While Mario has fondness for his blue overalls, he's been known as a plumber for years. He actually started as a carpenter in Donkey Kong. I did not know that.
I neither.
I was not aware that he was originally a carpenter and then moved into plumbing. But good for him for having worked with his hands for so long. Did you?
Yep.
Now, were you a Nintendo Donkey Kong guy or arcade Donkey Kong guy?
Both. I had the Nintendo, and I played it at the arcade.
Me too, both. Yep.
Yeah, I was definitely big at the arcade with playing Donkey Kong. I think I actually played it on Atari.
Okay.
I think they had a Donkey Kong on the
Atari. It might have been on Atari.
Yeah, so that was a long time ago. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, I remember all those. I used to love – I was never a big Pac-Man guy, but Galaga and Joust.
Yeah.
Oh.
Galaga.
I could waste some money on Joust, though. Joust with the flying ostriches and the eggs. Yep. Yes, I could spend some money on that for sure. I always hated I never liked Asteroids either. I always thought that was kind of whack.
It was kind of like the Pong of video games.
Yeah,
because you didn't need a whole lot of graphics or anything else.
No,
it was just a bunch of big outlined boulders coming at you.
Yeah,
and a triangle that shot a lot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But Galaga was a big one I liked, and I know a lot of people.
Defender
I played
was
Defender. And a lot of people loved Centipede.
Yeah.
Love that game for some reason. I have no idea why. Never really. And someone said that song that you sang was from Donkey Kong, not.
It was. Okay. But I was just referencing.
But that's Mario.
It was Mario.
It's the same thing.
Ease up, people.
Chill.
Well, that I sang it either.
Yeah. Yeah, that you got it right.
Yeah. Well, that's actually saying something in itself, right? Hey, by the way, I just got a text from a buddy of mine who happens to be Charles Woodson's little brother up in Green Bay still, and they're sending several 18-wheelers full of Gatorade, paper towels, Procter & Gamble products, have half the truck filled already today with just paper towels from Bounty, and we want to know where to send them. So I'm working on trying to figure out where to go. But people are doing their part all over this country, and that's amazing. And again, like Jeff Blum just tweeted out, hey, baseball's a fraternity of players all over the globe, praying for those in the path of Irma, because look, whatever report you're looking at, even if it's the outer bands, this is a Cat 5 right now, and it's headed for Florida. And then whether it goes up the East Coast or not is TBD.
Yep.
But having been through what we've been through, even those outer bands, we know that ain't a good thing.
Nope. It's going to be scary, man. Category 5.
Like I said, you can get out.
Yeah. Damn.
That is not
can't
a
catch
good
a break.
Thing. Nope.
Did you see this thing where DJ Reader got trolled? Did you hear about DJ Reader? He doesn't believe in fossils.
Flat.
He thinks that fossils are fake. He doesn't believe in dinosaurs or that dinosaurs ever happened. And then JJ Watt found out about it. And they think Watt is the guy that trolled him because somebody ended up putting a Barney stuffed animal in his locker. And they think it was JJ Watt because JJ Watt came out and said, our lockers have been next to each other for over a year, and I just found out that DJ Reader doesn't believe in dinosaurs. He says fossils are fake. And then Reader basically told USA Today that he thinks he got trolled. He said, everybody can do what they want to do and believe what they want to believe. It was just one of those things I really didn't believe in. So, I don't know. Wasn't it Kyrie that was a flat earther?
Yep. That's where I was going.
I just don't understand when you have definitive proof of something for you not to believe it anyways.
Then didn't Shaq jump on board too and go, yeah, I'm not sold on it either.
On what? Fossils or
the
Earth?
World being round.
God, Shaq was probably trolling though.
I don't know.
I feel like Shaq is a troll like that too. Like he would definitely be messing with people, but I don't know.
So
DJ Reader though.
Shaq and Trey. yeah. have something in common.
You think?
Who knew?
That's about it, though.
God, wait till you see Trey's feet. Okay, so we got a half hour to go in the big show. Don't go anywhere. Plenty more to get to. And if you want to chime in, give us a call, 713-780-3776. That's the HRNP listener line. You can call, you can text, you can tweet. We are here till 4, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on the Usual Suspects for the final half hour of the big show before we turn it over to the Blitz. Lots to get to. We see you, Victor. We see you, Henry. We're coming your way.
We see you, Barry. Did you just dab?
He just did a whole
lot of
stuff.
Did you just dab, Barry? You know you'd be the first hater of yep. anybody who dabbed.
Screw you, man. Screw you, all right?
At least I'm not like those annoying-ass white kids that they put on TV at the baseball games.
Yeah, I'm actually okay with that. Like, right, they do it at the Rockets games,
you see a bunch
too.
Of 8-year-old.
Yeah, like,
it's always just the white kids. They just wear it out.
Yeah, and they look like they got spina bifida and, like, some kind of a twitch problem. Because they can't just do it once. They got to do it, like, spastically.
Like, I'm going to need...
Seriously.
Listen, white people, I'm going to need us to get together at the next next meeting. Let's discuss.
The multiple, yeah.
Let's
yeah.
discuss allowing our kids to dab. You're ruining it. You've ruined it. We have this knack as a race of ruining things. Think about it. We ruined the Macarena. Didn't we? We ruined...
The Macarena, what else?
Erectment.
We ruined Raise the Roof. Remember, that used to be cool, and then old white ladies started raising the roof.
The Dougie.
Ruined it.
How about the Dougie?
We ruined yeah. the Dougie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You kind of got the Trey voice going when you said that.
Huh?
You ruined the Dougie. Sounded like you wrecked
it.
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, I'm just saying, we've ruined dab.
You're right.
We've ruined the dab. At one point, I sat down and made a list of everything we've ruined. It was pretty long. Pretty long. But yeah, stop ruining the dab, please. Only I can do that. I feel like a dumbass
Negative.
Just doing it.
Well, at least you feel like you look.
I feel that felt dirty.
I didn't think it was dirty.
That felt dirty. That felt
dumb.
I'm never doing that again. It didn't feel right.
The thing about the dab is that no matter who does it, it looks like they've been working on it for a while because it's so easy to do.
Yeah.
So but it looks just like they've do been it practicing. Once. But the kids do it like in rapid succession until it looks like they're going to get a concussion off their own inner elbow. It's just stupid.
I said, Barry, you were doing the hammer dance and couldn't play. Yeah, but I didn't ruin it.
True.
I didn't ruin it. I was doing it because I was doing it right. I brought some respect.
Thank God we don't have video proof of that.
There's a picture of me as part of the step team at Jersey Village. That's true. There's a picture of me
there's,
in
there's
the middle.
There's a picture that exists.
Yeah.
And I'll have find you published it?
I'll tweet it, out.
Yeah, you should.
I'll tweet it out.
Yeah, please do.
It's me with, I forget the name of this. It was the Utopia Step Club. That's what it was. Utopia. Did I ever tell this story? So Utopia.
No.
We're going to get to the callers. Henry, Victor, hang in there. Utopia was a club at Jersey Village to promote racial harmony at our school. All right. We had some issues at Jersey Village with race, and so they wanted to promote racial harmony. And so I was in on that. I was like, yeah, I think that's great. You know what I mean? I want to help promote racial harmony as well. So I decided, I talked to my counselor, Miss Lee, who was the sponsor of Utopia. And she was like, yeah, you should come and join. So I show up now. Jersey Village, it was a very diverse school. There was as many black people as there were white people. There were as many Mexicans. Those were like the main three. You know what I mean? There were others, but those three were pretty evenly split for the most part at our school. So they used to hold Utopia Club in the auditorium. That's how many people were in the Utopia Club. I had no idea. What I also didn't know is that the Utopia Club was all black people. There was no one else in Utopia except black people. And so I show up to do my part, and I walk in, and you had to walk in front and sign up, and it's an auditorium full of black people, and from the very back of the audience, it got dead silent. Like, I mean, if there was a record player, you would have heard the music stop when I walked in, and some dude from the very back goes, "Hey, this ain't Spanish Club, mother bleeper." Like, I was like, what?
Really?
Yes.
They really said that?
Yeah.
Oh.
But I signed up and I sat down and there was only seats in the front, of course. And that was my sophomore year. By my senior year, I was an officer in Utopia Club. That's true.
Wow.
But I joined the step team. Yeah. That was...
good for you.
Yeah.
An officer and a gentleman.
That was... I remember because back in the day, Jersey Village was like a fancy neighborhood. They were... It was... there was a lot... Like, it was wealthy. And the Utopia Club, we had a float for the homecoming parade. And, of course, we're jamming. Like, we've got... You know what I mean? Like, we have the step team on the float, and we're just... We're getting it. And then I was on the back of the float. So you'd see these well-to-do white folks in Jersey Village. They're clapping for all the float. And then here comes the Utopia float, and they're just kind of like, oh, okay. And then they would see me on the end of it, and their faces were, it was almost like, did that float kidnap that guy? What's going on with that one guy on that float? He got on the wrong float. It was pretty good. It was I loved to see those faces. It was fun.
There you have it.
Yeah.
All right. Victor, we want to get you guys in before the break. Victor came in from Odessa to help.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, man. I happened to do a little load down to Midland, Texas, and I got there and I made some phone calls after I got unloaded, and I have a small little trucking company here in Friendswood. So I get unloaded and I called, made some phone calls, and I went to the Coliseum there, and I was truck number 45 that the great city of Odessa, man, sent to Houston's way with diapers, clothes.
Wow.
I mean, all that. 45 trucks, 18-wheeler loads. And in Midland, in Odessa, there's nothing but oil field trucks. So all these dudes took their time, and females and guys and not gals or whatever, took their time, man, on their own dime, brought stuff back. I brought a truck back myself and delivered it in Friendswood of just a miscellaneous whole bunch of stuff, too, on my flatbed. And, man, I know we talk about other cities and states are helping us out. Dude, you talk about Texas strong, man, helping their own. That is just unbelievable.
No
that's
doubt.
Great to hear, Victor. And thank you for doing what you did, man. Yep, we appreciate that. It. That's badass. And yeah, dude, it's amazing when you hear about that. Odessa sending 45
shout
trucks.
And shout outs to Odessa.
Crazy, man.
Henry, you want to get in here real quick. What's up?
Yeah, I want to know how y'all feel about the Boston Red Sox stealing all these baseball signs with the Apple Watches.
Stealing signs?
I haven't heard about this.
I have not heard that about
Henry,
that
enlighten me. What is it? What's going on here?
Yeah, supposedly that I just got a Bleacher Report right now on my phone that the Boston Red Sox has been stealing the Yankees and other teams' signs with the Apple Watches.
How does that work?
Yeah,
I have no idea. I haven't read on it. I just saw an update from Bleacher Report, and that's what I got. I was like, man, you know, and then we call these guys and see what they think.
I tell you what, Henry, we got to go to a break. We're going to cut you loose.
Yeah,
I'm going to look at it at the break, and we'll have our opinion on it on the other side and give more details for everybody that hasn't heard about it. How about that?
All right.
Cool deal, man.
Right,
thanks,
Henry,
for calling.
Thanks for calling, man. All right, we'll head to break. And as Barry said, we'll do a little research. We'll come back with a little bit more, and then we'll turn it over to the Blitz. By the way, Pac-12 Special Teams Player of the Week, in case you missed it, the blind Southern California long snapper Jake Olson in a class move by the Pac-12 Conference. All right, with that being said, we're going to take a break and get ready to wrap things up. One more segment to go. Back with a whole lot more. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. In a while, that's why they play my song on so many different dials, cause I go both rich and a disciplined child. So, you want to go out tonight but don't know where to go? Easy fix. Head over to culturemap.com for the latest social happenings going on in the city. Machiavellian is Illuminati all through your body. The blows like a 12-gauge shot. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back for one more segment, usual suspects, before we wrap things up, turn over to the Blitz. And we all got a little bit well-versed in the stealing of signals during the break. And seems like there's some legitimacy here.
Yeah, it's just one of those. I mean,
so how are they stealing signs?
Well, usually it's when camera. Yeah, well, usually right. It's when you have runners on base. So you'll have a guy on second that he can get the signs. He'll usually give a signal or something to, if you know what you think.
Know
like
what the sign is?
Yeah, because a lot of times you'll play for a team and they'll have it set in stone. Like, okay, we're always going to go with the second of three. Like right. The Rangers may say, we're always going to go with the second of three. Or maybe the Astros. We'll use that as an example. Maybe the Astros say, it's always the second of the three signs, okay? Well, then Carlos Gomez ends up as a Ranger once the Astros cut him. And the first thing he does when he walks in the dugout when they get ready to play the Astros is, hey, if you get on second, it's always the second of three. So then you'll see a lot more mound visits when you're playing guys that used when especially a guy that used to be on your team is on second or third or whatever. You'll see a few more mound visits. Hey, let's switch it up. Let's go three. Let's go one.
Or in some cases, they tell the pitcher tells the catcher with his glove over his mouth
what he's going to throw.
Fastball here.
Yeah, but then so you'll get guys that can steal signs that are pretty good at it because a lot of times you can memorize what three signs get thrown down, watch the pitch, and then figure out, all right, they're going with two or one or whatever. So that'll happen, and you'll have some hand signals to be able to tip off a player, right? Like if you touch the bill of your cap while you're on second, that means it's a fastball or something like that. But that's one way to do it. And another way is like what Joel was saying with cameras. And so what they'll do is teams will have a guy in the dugout underneath the stadium, you know, where you can walk into the clubhouse, looking at cameras, the center field cameras, and they'll do the same thing. But this way, you've got to go out and take that information to somebody on the bench, like a coach, who then relays it in either, you know, to the guys on base directly or to the first base, third base coach or whatever. But it takes an extra step. What they're doing, what the Red Sox are doing is, instead of having that guy have to run that paper up there to the bench, they're just texting it to a coach's Apple Watch or a trainer's Apple Watch.
Yep.
And from there, he's relaying what's coming. So
it says here, the video provided the commissioner's office by the Yankees was captured in the first two games of the recent series between the two teams, where at least three different times, the assistant athletic trainer, John Jokim, is seen looking at his Apple Watch, then passing the information to either outfielder Brock Holt or second baseman Dustin Pedroia, who was injured but in uniform. And in one instance, Pedroia then is seen passing the information on to Chris Young in the batter's box. In one case, with a runner on second base, immediately following the Red Sox hit home run.
So I'm assuming that the fact that he's looking at his Apple Watch, he obviously couldn't look at his phone.
So what's happening is the video department, who has all the time in the world with every camera angle, is figuring out the pattern and watching it, then sending a text, as Barry said, to the Apple Watch of the assistant trainer, so they don't have to run upstairs.
But my point is, you can't look at. He couldn't look at his phone and really, because that would be too obvious, right?
That's correct.
And phones aren't allowed in the dugout anyway.
So I think the next step, obvious step, is just to ban Apple Watches or any type of Bluetooth watch that you. You know, that you can add, you know, you can put on your wrist,
But here's the thing. iPads are now allowed in the mm-hmm. dugouts, because you see Astros players all the time going to the iPad to look at previous at-bats or pitching sequences or things like that. So they've set themselves up for their own misfortune, because you can't really ban the electronics. Now, you can take the watches out of it, but as long as there's an iPad in the dugout, a message can be sent that way.
Yep.
Well, obviously, the watches are becoming obvious. I mean, if he had to use an iPad, it would not eventually become obvious?
The players can say, look, I'm just looking at video of my last couple at bats so that I can figure out what I'm doing wrong.
So the players would have to be on it. It's more difficult, is what I'm saying. Like, you'd have to include more people. With that, I mean, there's kind of a system here that they've kind of figured out. Hopefully, it probably doesn't. Because I hate cheating in any sport. Like, I just think it's stupid.
I mean, In baseball, the stuff like stealing signs, that doesn't bother me. I just feel like that's part of the game.
Yeah. Watching practices in NFL or knowing or finding information?
That's the thing. There's no rule against stealing signs in baseball.
Okay.
There's nothing that says I can't sit on second base, watch your catcher throw three numbers, take a guess at what it is, and let my teammate know, hey, this could be a fastball. There's no rule that says you can't do that. There is a rule that says you can't go to a team's practice facility and film it. There's definitely a rule against that. So, yeah, I'm opposed against breaking the rules. But if you can figure out a way at a game, if you got a guy in the press box that can watch another team and their coaches are relaying this, well, that's why you see much craziness in college.
In college, when I was playing, we had a guy that never got onto the field but was a genius in school and everything else. And we had him constantly. His main focus was watching every signal that the third base coach gave for the other team. And normally by the third or fourth inning, we had a pretty good indication of what their bunt sign was, what their steal sign was. We weren't out there promoting it, and obviously it's college baseball, but yeah, we're using that if you can.
And there's nothing wrong with that, I don't think. No. There's really
here's
not.
The other thing.
But he's learning. He's basically educating himself, and I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just being devil's advocate here. He's educating himself on the sign, and then really, I don't view that as cheating.
Right.
I just don't.
Well, here's the other thing, Nick, because you're not a baseball aficionado, admittedly, and that's what. So when you see the catcher sometimes with runners on base, he'll step out in front of home plate. And he'll do a series of hand gestures to the mask, to the chest protector. That's basically letting the entire infield know who play off what the pitch is going to be, too. And they want to know what it is because based on a breaking ball or a fastball, they'll play in certain areas because the ball will be hit harder or to different spots in the field. He's giving the signal to the entire infield of we're going off the, to Barry's point, the second sign. Or we're going off the first sign. That's he's doing hand gestures, which is a code to tell everybody, hey, it's going to be the first sign. So that everybody knows where to play accordingly. But it's so obvious that when you see that done, and then your video department can go, okay, based on this and that, and they can start figuring it out. It's like breaking a code, but it's not like Fort Knox. It's just baseball. So it's a lot easier.
Interesting. No, I just thought it was, you know, I don't know. I guess there's a fine line. There's not really a fine line there in baseball, I guess. If you can kind of educate yourself about, you know, the signs, maybe it can help, maybe it can't. But I guess in that dynamic where there's a Apple Watch, you know, I feel like
I think using technology might be a little more of a
that's the cheap
of a cheat part. But if you're just stealing signs from second base and relaying them, or vice versa, or whatever, I don't think that's cheating at all. We got a text that said, "I'm a courier in Houston. Y'all keep me sane through all this traffic, so thank you." Yeah, man, hang in there. Hopefully, this thing gets lightened
up. I used to be a courier, so I know what it's like, man.
Sucks, huh?
Oh, being in the car.
Now, are you a biker? Oh, drive courier?
Yeah. No, okay. I would not
those
deliver
bikers are nuts, man. In Nick downtown?
Nick was on Team Cinzano for a while, biking in his spare time.
Cinzano?
I don't know what that
the
is.
Movie Breaking Away. It was Team Cinzano when they wore the little Cinzano Italian biking they sponsor.
Yeah, I delivered in a car for sure. I would not deliver anything on a bike.
Ashton said the dad was dead when 80-year-old Frank Beamer did it last year. That's true. That's very true. And Ike, man, Ike. So Ike yesterday had a question for us.
That's right.
We're not going to do this today because he waits until about 4 minutes left in the last segment. But he had a question about what makes a good husband. We're just going to have to leave you hanging. Like, you can't ask that question with a couple minutes left. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to table it. If you guys want to do it tomorrow, feel free.
No, we'll wait till Friday.
But wait till I get back and we'll get you and we'll answer it. Because I think it's a great question. Because I think it's a very different, you're going to get different responses from husbands and wives. But it's one of those things like we need time, man. So we'll get to you. I promise. Just next time, ask sooner.
All right, Barry. Greetings, salutations, best wishes. Be careful on the road.
Yep.
Make sure you don't lead Andy down the wrong path.
Of course not.
Nick and I will handle everything tomorrow. And
POP,
maybe,
hold it down.
Maybe Thursday.
Yeah, I might be back Thursday. I'm going to try to get back early enough. No promises, but I'm going to try.
Don't rush. And then Friday, we'll be back to a full show as we get ready for the first weekend of NFL football. So stay tuned for the Blitz, who I'm sure has a whole lot more. And then we'll talk to you again tomorrow. At least Nick and I will. Barry will be on the road. Usual suspects Monday through Friday, 1 to 4, right here, ESPN 97.5. People trying to inherit the skills, so they asking it. Even David Blaine.
ESPN 97.5.